Welcome back to the eighth day, where we like to talk about things we don't talk about the rest of the week. I came across the Holiday Kosher Baker book. Contacted the author of the book, Paula Scheuer, and I have her on the phone right now. Paula, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So nice to be here, Todd.
I really got fascinated by this whole idea that cooking basically kosher can also help with dietary limitations that some people with health problems and that have. So if they can make desserts tasty, I wanted to know.
Well, I'm all about tasty desserts. I don't need a single dessert that isn't worth the calories, ever.
So tell me a bit about your book and tell me a bit about your what your mission is.
So I call what I do a kosher baking revolution because I felt that Jewish and kosher pastries at events and synagogues and for celebrations were just so bad for so long. And I'd gone to cooking school in Paris. But in Paris, I learned how to make wonderful desserts with butter and cream. And now kosher people do not mix milk and meat at the same meal. So if I'm going to have brisket for my Jewish New Year dinner, I can't have a wonderful pie made with butter, a butter crust. I have to have something else. There's a waiting period, depending on your custom, between when you eat meat and when you can have dairy again. So I took all my French desserts that I learned in Paris and converted them into dairy-free desserts. So I use coconut and margarine and different kinds of oil, dairy-free chocolates, soy milk, almond milk, and I take all kinds of desserts and I can make them dairy-free, which means it's also for people who are lactose intolerant. Yeah, so you don't have to give up delicious layer cakes, a wonderful chocolate mousse. You can find really easy, you know, easy to find substitutes for the ingredients that are dairy that might be upsetting your stomach. So whether it's a medical necessity or by choice, so many people today are on gluten-free diets or they're vegan. So I make sure, you know, the recipes are, you know, labeled in my book so people know if they're nut-free or vegan or gluten-free. And so I really see myself as a special diet baker. So my books are really not The Kosher Baker and The Holiday Kosher Baker, my two baking books, are not just for Jewish and kosher people. They're just great desserts, but they're adapted for all different kinds of diets.
Is it difficult to, like, if they're going to do it kosher, let's just say they're actually buying it to be traditional, pretty much a kitchen has already been prepared for that because people who are thinking of doing kosher already have it. Do you explain anything about how they're supposed to, you know, separate the pots, the pans, all that stuff?
Yeah, I talk a little bit about that in this book, and I talk about, you know, mostly about, you know, the kinds of ingredients you would want in, like, a kosher baking pantry. But today, you know, the labeling on products is so clear, so you can see if something is dairy-free, and there's a word called P-A-R-V-E called Parve, mm-hmm. Parv, depending on your pronunciation, and basically will tell you if it's dairy-free. So it's really easy to find those ingredients. And what I try to show people is that just because something's dairy-free doesn't mean it can't be as delicious. So I have all kinds of wonderful cakes and beautiful pastries, and, you know, for the Jewish New Year I have biscotti and little babka bites and all kinds of cookies and cakes that are, they just happen to be dairy-free, but they're just delicious. And many people who cook with bake with butter will take these recipes and make them with butter, and I do that sometimes too. But on the holiday of Passover, we don't eat flour. We make desserts out of other ingredients, nut flours and matzah flour. So as a result of that, I have a huge chapter in the book for Passover desserts, and there are 37 gluten-free recipes in this cookbook. I make them all year round. I don't just make them on Passover. Like, there's my Florentine bars. They're almonds, cranberry, orange zest, sugar, and egg white on one side, and then the back of it, if you bake it thin to like a crispy cookie and you put chocolate on the other side, I mean, it's just delicious. So I don't really see, like, if a dessert is for a particular holiday. Like, people, they sell Hamantaschen in bakeries all over all year round, and it's a holiday in March.
Anything kosher on Passover is kosher year-round, if I understand right, correct?
So, you know, on Passover, most of the desserts are gluten-free, but many of them have a matzah cake meal, which has gluten in it. Mm-hmm. But I really tend to prefer the taste of the gluten-free recipes on Passover over using matzah flour. I learned in cooking school in Paris that you can use almond flour and hazelnuts, ground hazelnuts, and make wonderful desserts.
People first come to your book, what's their number one reaction? Like, do they get a lot of comments back? What are they sort of like?
People, you know, will say first, wow, it's so pretty, and it's color-coded for every holiday. There's so many pictures. The pictures are beautiful. And the other thing is I label all the recipes, whether they're easy, moderate, or multiple step. So if you go through the book and you say, oh, I want to make that, and it says, oh, there's a recipe. I'm looking at the sticky toffee pudding, and it has a little tag on top that says it's an easy recipe. Which means, like, whether you don't have to have sophisticated baking skills in order to make a recipe like this. So I try to give people that kind of information, and I really walk people through recipes. So even if something has a few steps, I really try to make sure it's accessible.
One of the things that caught my eye when I was looking at what was available in the book, it's arugula, strudel, honey and apple cakes.
What I do is I try to take things that people know, because you know what, when it comes to holidays, and I think this is true of Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know, there's certain recipes that are in your family that remind you of those holidays. And I know that when I'm making like a Friday night dinner for my family, I might do a Japanese themed dinner or Indian food or Peruvian food. But when it comes to the holidays, like Thanksgiving, I make the same recipes every year with probably a little extra something interesting each time. But so that my kids will grow up and my guests will always associate certain recipes with certain holidays. But I felt that it was time to update recipes. Strudel was a really good example. So apple strudel, it's been around forever, and I find that not a lot of people make apple strudel anymore. For sure, nobody's making the dough from scratch. So what I did in this book is I took traditional apple strudel, but instead of apples, I have berries, and I have dried fruit in it. So it's kind of an interesting texture. So it's something different than your typical, you know, strudel. And then I take something like chocolate babka, which is on rugelach, which are traditional. Like rugelach, I put in so many different, I call it everything rugelach. I put in like all kinds of dried fruit and nuts and coconut and chocolate chips, and you can make it any way you like. So instead of something that's usually much more simple, that if you found it in a Jewish bakery, would have one filling, my spin on it is I put every kind of filling inside and make it more fun that way.
I'm getting hungry just listening here.
Oh, yeah. I am getting hungry myself. I'm looking at the apple and honey challah rolls, which is so nice because apples and honey is traditional for the Jewish New Year. And I put cinnamon in the challah dough, and then I make these rolls with the apples and honey inside. You know, one of the things that has made me really happy is that I've gotten calls from people who don't have a really strong Jewish connection, but food is their connection to their religion and the holidays. So, like, they will, you know, buy my book, or someone will give it to them as a gift, and they'll make something from the book, and then I'll hear back from them, and they'll say, oh, now my holiday is so much more enhanced because now I'm making, you know, something traditional. I'm making a really interesting apple dessert instead of, you know, a typical boring one. So people want, and Jewish people and kosher people want to eat what everybody else is eating. So I try to bring recipes from the wider world to the kosher community and let them see that, oh, I just have to change, substitute the milk or the cream for soy milk, and, you know, I can make something wonderful, too, to celebrate.
Now, you mentioned a second book on desserts. You have The Holiday Kosher Baker. What was the other one you mentioned?
Right, so the first cookbook that started my revolution was The Kosher Baker, and that came out in 2010, and that was published by Brandeis University Press. And that book is organized by time. It starts with 45 one-bowl easy cookies and cakes, two-step desserts, then multiple-step desserts, and the entire book, 160 recipes, all dairy-free. And I basically call it like the Bible. Like, if you're celebrating Shabbat every Friday night, you're doing Jewish holidays, you just need this book. It has so many easy recipes. The holiday book is more interesting. It has more interesting pictures, it has more interesting recipes, and it's a bit more trendy. Kosher Baker has more classics, but holiday book is just full of interesting twists on things you wouldn't expect before. For the holiday of Purim, I have hamantaschen made with green tea powder, and just nobody was expecting that. I hear from some people looking for dairy-free chocolate chips that they can't find them in certain parts of the United States. But today you can go on, you know, Amazon.com and order dairy-free kosher chocolate chip stores. But you can buy these dairy-free ingredients, especially the dry ingredients, online.
When people ask you questions about this, what's their number one question? So we can answer that before anybody asks it.
Well, you know what people always ask me, like, are these recipes difficult? Because that's what people are most concerned about, time.
Because of modern time, people don't spend hours doing this.
You know, there are people who are bakers and people who are cooks, and people who are cooks will say, well, I don't bake. And I pride myself in turning non-bakers into bakers, but I will tell them that everyone will find some recipe that they're comfortable with, that they don't find too challenging, because there's just so many wonderful, easy recipes. I always tell people that the desserts should look like you were in the kitchen all day long, but only you know that it took 10 minutes before you put it in the oven.
That's an excellent philosophy. You do have a website, right?
It's thekosherbaker.com, and there's recipes there, and I'll probably be adding some new recipes for the Jewish New Year in the next couple of weeks. I think I'm working on a blueberry and honey babka cupcake. And I got that idea from teaching at summer camp, where we had a babka competition, and a couple of the campers came up with the blueberry and honey and cinnamon cupcakes. So I thought that was genius. So yeah, so thekosherbaker.com is information both about me and with a lot of recipes, and also on my blog I have stories, but also I do events all around the United States for cooking schools and Jewish organizations all over America. I've even done events in Canada and China and Israel. So there's information also about, you know, how to bring me to you to teach cooking classes.
Do you have any plans in northern Wisconsin, northern Michigan anytime soon already set up?
Not yet, but I've been in touch with people from Detroit, so I'm hoping to get up there. But I'd be so happy to come out there. Probably not in February and March.
No.
When I practiced law, I spent a lot of time in the entire state of Michigan. So I was in Battle Creek and Kalamazoo and all over. So I'd be very happy to come back again to, you know, any community.
Cool. I really appreciate you having come on. I mean, I think that these recipes, I remember my mom, she would come up with some of the most interesting foods, and her number one thing was less about time and more about expense. And when people can see if it's simple and they can see if the ingredients are available, they can make a judgment whether or not it's an affordable option
for
them.
You just can't beat homemade in terms of taste, and their health, and the desserts are so much healthier.
Paula, I really want to thank you for having shared your recipes.
Well, thank you so much, and it was great to be on the show, and I want to wish all of your Jewish listeners and beyond a very happy new year, and a happy and sweet new year full of great desserts.
Well, thank you again, and have yourself a great weekend.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to The Eighth Day. We're on every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. We'll be right back.